the afternoon sun in Texas has a way of turning the pavement into a shimmering mirage that distorts everything in the distance. On this particular day, the air was heavy with the scent of dry grass and the low hum of idling engines as parents lined the curb. It was the peak of the school release window, a time of day governed by the clock and the predictable chaos of children spilling out into the light. The woman standing near the gate was a constant in this environment, her presence as reliable as the ringing of the bell that signaled the end of the day. She was a young mother whose entire world was defined by the safety and the schedule of the two small people she was there to collect. There were no warning signs in the atmosphere, and no sudden shifts in the wind to suggest that the normalcy of the suburbs was about to be punctured. Then a dark vehicle broke the rhythm of the car line, moving with a jagged intent that drew the eyes of the crossing guards and the waiting families. A single sharp sound tore through the quiet, a mechanical intrusion that lasted only a second but changed the trajectory of a dozen lives forever. I arrived at the elementary school while the first responders were still establishing the inner perimeter, and the echoes of the sirens were fading into the distance. Desiree Gunter lay on the ground near the main entrance, a scene of absolute violence, set against the backdrop of a playground and colorful school murals. My primary objective was to stabilize the scene and begin the methodical process of documenting the physical evidence left behind in the wake of the shooter's departure. The area was littered with the remnants of a life interrupted, including a scattered set of keys and a cell phone that continued to buzz with incoming notifications. I directed the forensic team to mark the locations of several brass shell casings that had bounced across the asphalt, their positions providing a silent map of where the killer had been standing. The witnesses I spoke with were in a state of profound shock, describing a brief and one-sided confrontation that ended almost as soon as it began. We knew that the perpetrator had fled into the heart of the surrounding counties, and the initial reports suggested a level of premeditation that suggested this was not a random act of street violence. My initial report focused on the immediate physical dimensions of the crime, noting the caliber of the rounds and the specific make of the vehicle that had been seen speeding away toward the highway. The investigation quickly transitioned from the blood-stained pavement to the digital architecture that monitors the movement of every citizen in the modern era. I spent the following 48 hours submerged in a sea of low-resolution video feeds and automated license plate reader logs that tracked the dark sedan's flight through the Texas interior. We recovered a crucial sequence of images from a commercial security camera located 3 blocks from the school, which showed the driver's silhouette in profile. This visual evidence was cross-referenced with the digital signature of a mobile device that had been active in the area at the exact moment the shots were fired. I reviewed the recovered data from a dashboard camera that had been operating in a vehicle parked directly across from the school gate during the incident. This recording provided a high-fidelity audio log of the encounter, capturing the sound of the car door opening and a short, aggressive exchange before the gunfire began. The technical analysis of the audio allowed us to identify the specific mechanical signature of the firearm used, which I later matched to a weapon registered to an individual with a history of domestic grievances. This digital trail acted as a breadcrumb path that led us away from the schoolyard and deep into a rural property located several jurisdictions to the north. Every ping from a cell tower and every frame of grainy footage reinforced the narrative of a man who believed he could outrun the reach of the law by crossing county lines and disappearing into the brush. The conclusion of the manhunt came when our tactical units surrounded a small residence on the outskirts of a neighboring county where the suspect had been hiding for nearly 3 days. I was present when the breach occurred, witnessing the recovery of the dark sedan which had been hidden behind a stack of rusted farm equipment in a desperate attempt to obscure its identity. The suspect was taken into custody without further incident, ending a search that had spanned hundreds of miles and involved dozens of law enforcement agencies. During the subsequent search of the property, we recovered the firearm used in the assault, still loaded with the same brand of ammunition that I had documented at the schoolyard scene. The legal proceedings were built upon the foundation of the forensic evidence and the digital logs that mapped every second of the suspect's movements. There was no need for emotional appeals or speculative theories when the data provided such a clear and undeniable account of the facts. Desiree Gunter was a mother who died while performing the most basic of parental duties, and the man responsible was convicted based on the irrefutable evidence we painstakingly collected. The finality of the sentence provided a measure of justice for the community, but it could never restore the sense of safety that was lost that afternoon. The file was closed with a summary of the ballistics and the digital findings, leaving behind a record of a tragedy that was as senseless as it was meticulously solved.